Thank you for listening to Podcast Rock City. Don't forget, you can join us live on YouTube and Facebook every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/podcastrockcity, where you can join our Patreon for a whole week for free just to try it out. Now let's go ahead and get to the show. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week, Sonny Hollywood Pooty.
What's up, everybody? Hello.
I'm so mad at you right now. You fucked me up at the beginning, and it's such a dirty.
You gotta be professional. You gotta work it through. Like, what's wrong with
you? Yeah, people are going to watch the beginning of this show and be like, wow, those lines messed up Joe. Thank you guys for being here. It's so awesome to see you. Sorry, Lee's not here today. She's handling some family business. And Joey is handling...
We're not sorry he's not here.
Isn't it like Palm Sunday? I think it's Palm Sunday. So
he's probably doing family stuff. That would have been so great, Joe. We're sorry Lee's not here. She's handling some family business. And we're not sorry Joey's not here.
Let's all right, let's do it backwards. Deleted. What's up, everybody? How are you guys doing? It's so great to see you. Before we get started, I want to tell you all that are here to watch the show live, thank you. You are amazing. You guys that are watching the show recorded, come and hang out with us on a Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a lot of fun. We're going to go ahead and talk about some things that there's really the news. As far as news goes, there's really a couple of things that I want to bring up, and that's all. So let's just go ahead and get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
I've seen about 643,000 different Kiss podcasts talking about how much money it costs to get that new box set. Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And it's really amazing. Hey, everybody that's watching. It's really amazing. Like nobody's happy. No, there, I can't find anybody going, I don't see the big deal.
That's because the people that say, I don't see the big deal spent $1,000 and they're good.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, I guess that's true.
The people that are bitching about it being $1,000, they're going to bitch about it if it was $200.
That's a good point. Let me ask you this, though. Do you think that this is something that is like they've got 1,000 sitting in a warehouse, or do you think that they just wait to see how many people order them?
Yeah, I would think that they're printing them on demand, but I don't know that for sure because it doesn't sound like vinyl is that readily available to be printed. So maybe you do got to print them ahead of time, I guess. Kind of scary. Like Gene is still selling the vault. Remember, he only had X amount. He hasn't got rid of them yet. It's been 6 years.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I get that. You know, how many were there supposed to be? Was it 2,000?
Yeah, I thought it was 2,000 or 5,000, something like that. It wasn't much.
Right. But, you know, at $2,000 a pop, you're talking about, you know, not every Kiss fan could get it. You know, that's, you know, I know that on one of the cruises, if you bought a Gene, one of Gene's bases, they gave you a vault. And that's how Bruce, our buddy Bruce, got one. We were sharing a room and he's like, I can't decide if I want to get a base or a vault. And I said, you know what? here, David Donnelly. Hey, what's up, David? It's good to see you all the way from, I don't want to say the wrong part of the world. I know he's in England, right? The UK. He's going to set me straight now. For me, it just seems incredibly unfair that it's $1,000 for that box set, and yet it was 80 for an 11 CD beautiful coffee table book, and I missed it.
I missed it too. I went on Rhino Records because when I got the book with the vault, I got fingerprints on it. Like, I'm not good with collectible shit, right? So I have fingerprints on it, blah, blah, blah. I was thumbing through it. I read it a couple of times. And then, you know, I burned all the CDs, so the CDs are in good shape or whatever. So I was just going to get another book just to be able to put it in the vault as a book that I didn't touch. And by the time I went to Rhino Records to buy the book plus the figure, it was already gone. They were all gone already.
Yeah. You could still buy the actual vault.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to buy a whole vault for just the book and figure now, but that was a good idea. I thought it was actually cheap. That book alone is worth $150-$200.
Easily. Yeah. I remember, hey, everybody that's watching, hey, how you doing? I see Tales of a Kiss Geek. Hey, how you doing? Sonny and I want to come on your show. So work that out. Sonny and I want to come on and talk with you. That'd be a lot of fun. Ireland, Australia, the UK, all over the US. How are you guys doing? It's great to see you. I remember when you got the book, you told us, I can't wait for you guys to see this book. Yeah. And it's just amazing. It is just an amazing book. And then I actually had a few different people message me, just saying, hey, do you think I should get this book? Is it worth it? And I was like, hell yeah, you will not regret it. And so far, nobody's come to – I've had one person come to me and go, thank you for that, for letting me know. Nobody's come back and said, damn, this was a waste. Even the music historically is fun to listen to. Hearing especially where they're working out the demos. I really like that where, you know, you could hear them talking as they're about to record. The Van Halen stuff is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like if they had, let's say, KTEL? Remember KTEL, right?
Yeah.
If KTEL was to sell 150 80s songs that never got released in the 80s by artists from the 80s, should I pay $80 for that? Right? About half the songs would be good. It's from the era that I love. And, you know, they would probably tell you there's a Thompson Twins song on there and a Kaja Goo Goo song on there and a Duran Duran song on there or whatever. Right? Yeah. So I would buy it just for that. To have it be Gene? Right? That's just that much better. I just hope that Rhino Records didn't end up selling all those books to some person who's going to sell them on eBay. Like that would just suck.
Don't be surprised. You know, ultimately that's something that happens and it's just part of being a collector and being a fan is you're going to get these guys that'll buy shit like tickets or anything else. And right now I can tell you there are a lot of people online trying to sell 25, 30 copies of an Ace record that they bought thinking that people would want every color and every shade, and they're putting them on and I'm watching and nobody's saying anything. It's because people have bought one or two and they're happy. It's like, I don't need the bubble gum and I don't need the special one from, what's that internet radio thing.
Yeah, yeah. Plus if you want all of them, as you know, being a collector, half the thing is going and finding it yourself, not buying it from somebody else.
Yeah. And they take that fun away. You know, they take that fun away. It's like you can't go into Walmart and find the lenticular cover because they got sucked up. And hopefully, with them only, I think there was only 1,000. So I never saw one in my town. I never saw one even close online. So hopefully they were just picked up by fans. So the book, David Donnelly says the books are on eBay for £300.
That's like $450.
It's $450?
Yeah, something like that.
Holy crap.
That's ridiculous, dude. It was 80 something. So whatever.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, if somebody really wants one that bad, at least there's a way to get it, but that you know, it just doesn't seem right. One other thing. So, you know, I've been seeing a lot of fussing back and forth about apparently what they're saying Steve said about the Ace record, you know, saying that he wrote 95% of it, and Three Sides of the Coin came to his defense and said he never said that. That's not what he said. What he said was he came up with ideas, but he didn't write all of it. And then, you know, here's my thing, okay? If you guys, if anybody out there for one, hey, Chris Sinzak, how's it going? If any of you guys for 1 second listen to any Kiss record and think it was 100% written by Kiss, you're crazy. You all know the truth. The truth is that lots of outside people, you know, write, you know, with the band. And even if it was true, even, let me tell you, even if it's true that let's just say I'm an artist. Let's say I'm Ace Frehley and I walk into the studio and a guy comes to me and says, I've written all the songs. All you got to do is play them and sing them. Ace sings them. Ace plays them. It's still an Ace record. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah. I mean, Bonnie Raitt made her whole career on that. My problem isn't what Steve said. My problem isn't what Three Sides of the Coin came in defense to do. My problem even isn't what Blabbermouth put out there. My problem isn't what Loudwire put out there, right? Because you know what happens in those entities.
You know.
My problem is somebody went to Ace and Ace asked for an apology, supposedly. That's my problem. And it's like, really? Guys, keep that shit. If you don't know what the hell you're talking about, then don't go tell Ace. And then, oh, Ace wants an apology now. That's not right. It's like, dude, Ace only knows basically what you tell him. He's not out there reading or listening to any of this shit, except for his close, you know, his close quarter guys are saying stuff to him.
Right. The whole idea. I mean, here's the thing. Okay, you know, Joey's on our show. I think that he wouldn't bullshit us. He saw Ace playing. He saw Ace singing. He was with Ace while they reworked lyrics, reworked the songs, reworked the parts. I mean, and to be honest with you, if he told us off the air, I'd look you in the face and go, yeah, that's what he said. No, but he did not. He did not. He told it. As a matter of fact, he's been talking to us since day one. We've known for a long time about what was going on, and we knew the minute he recorded the first drum track, because he was so excited he had to call and tell somebody, and it was beautiful and awesome for him. And I just don't understand what the big drama is. It's like somebody said today, go back to Carnival of Souls, go back there. Paul and Gene just kind of abandoned that record.
What? And I don't get what the big deal is. Was Spaceman a, like, iconic record of all time? Because supposedly Ace wrote all of that, and it was complete shit. So who cares if she got some help? Like, I don't understand. So I don't know. But whatever. I guess we need something to talk about, so might as well be Ace looking for apologies.
Yeah, see, there's John Patterson. Real and true Kiss fans are moving on from the need to have all things Kiss. The original band is done in earnest. We have made our peace with it, and we see it as a worthwhile part of our lives. Absolutely, 100% true statement, John. Everybody, all hail John! All hail John! I spoke for everybody. Sorry out there. Listen, as we move forward, don't forget, if you need to get in touch with us, you can podcast rockcity1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. Podcast rockcity1. That's the number one at gmail.com. You know, I was on the phone with somebody the other day and they asked me what my email was. And I went podcast rockcity1. They go, is that the number one? I go, you bet it is.
Wow.
And it's funny because I'll be with Karen. And if we're out and they're like, you know, if they're putting me in a computer somewhere and they go, what's your email address? I'll go podcast rockcity1. And Karen, the next to me, I'll go, that's the number one. It feels like Sheldon knocking Penny. Yeah. Anyway, you don't know what that means. All right. So that being said, that's all the drama I'm going with this week. I don't want any more. Let's go ahead and get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City Topic of the Week.
All right, so topic of the week this week, I don't even remember what I said. Something like, did it hurt Kiss when Gene became a, I don't even want to use the word movie star. Is anybody that does a movie star? No, right? To be a star, you got to be known. But Gene was known, right?
Yeah, I guess you're in the movies, right? He was in the movies, but he wasn't a movie star. But I don't know. Like, how close do you have to be to Tom Cruise before you say star? Like, I don't know.
That's a good point. Right? Tom Cruise, an icon, though. Okay, so, all right. So, one of the things that I noticed was I watched the preview for Wanted Dead or Alive, right? Do you know that they, like, show Gene maybe, I think, twice in it. Oh. Once is with a grenade in his mouth. The other time, I think he's on the phone. They never mention Gene Simmons.
You got to remember, Rutger Hauer was super hot at that time. Most of the movies he had done was because from the beginning of the 80s to that movie, right? So he was his career was, I guess, ascending. So, yeah, the teaser was all about Rutger Hauer.
I only know one movie he did besides that one. And was the one where he was like a blind karate guy.
I don't even know what that one was.
Somebody's going to tell us. Blind Fury or some shit like that.
You never saw Blade Runner?
My bad. Yes. Thank you, Stephen H. You are right. Yeah. Blade Runner, of course. Yes.
So, yeah, I would say he was in the movies. But, yeah, the teaser, didn't have Gene at all. Well, none of the movies that Gene was in, Gene was really in the teasers.
I don't think so. I tried to watch as many as I could. There were a few that he did. Oh, The Hitcher. Dang, that's right.
But that wasn't a movie.
Was that a TV show, though?
No, that was a movie.
It was a movie. Nighthawks. Oh, man, yeah. All right, so everybody's helping. You guys are awesome. Thank you. David Donnelly. That's cool. I guess I know way more than I thought. It's like hearing Night Ranger. As the songs go on, I'm like, wow, it's amazing. I know this. I thought it was just going to be a couple.
The difference is Rutger Hauer didn't do movies for 40 years, right? Most of his known movies are like in this short span of 10 to 15 years.
Right. Yeah. I don't think he's with us anymore. I think he's passed away. It was a few years back. Okay. So let's talk about that. In Paul Stanley's book, he says that he went to Gene and I think he said he went to Gene and told him that he was thinking about trying acting. And Gene, he says, if I'm saying this right, Gene told him he had no interest in that. And then all of a sudden, he winds up in movies. Paul, I think he did two things I want to say, and neither of them you see him. I think both. One of them was something like Young Doctors in Love or something like that. And Doctor Detroit.
Young Doctors in Love. I think he got left on the cutting room floor.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't even make it. And then I want to say that I heard that he was had something in Dr. Detroit that got cut as well.
It must have got cut because I've seen that movie 10 times and I don't remember Paul Stanley being in it.
Yeah, I loved that movie too. It was super weird. Now when you watch it, you get a different feeling from it because you realize what's happening. Although, which movie came out first, Spies Like Us or Dr. Detroit? Oh.
Dr. Detroit's way before Spies Like Us.
Yeah. Because
it's like four or 5 years.
Yeah. So that must be when they fell in love and she wound up leaving Paul for it. Dr. Detroit was Dan Aykroyd when Donna left him for Dan. Yes. Chris Sinzak from Decibel Geek. How you doing? Yes, that's what happened. It's crazy that you watch that movie now, you realize some crazy stuff was going on.
Yeah, that movie's a little weird. Spies Like Us is a much better movie.
Spies Like Us is awesome.
Yeah.
Especially the scene where the Russian girl's coming out of the tent in the morning.
Oh,
goodness.
I know.
Goodness. I even like the soundtrack. And that's Paul McCartney. Okay, so let's talk about this. Paul, Gene gets his eyes set on Hollywood. You have to imagine that once he became a rock star, that the next legit thing for him to do would be TV. He did TV, Miami Vice. Remember, he tried it. He was on Miami Vice. He was a big drug dealer, I believe. And then half everybody that played on that show was a drug dealer, except for Crockett and Tubbs. And then he does that, and then he goes and does, you know, a movie. Now, I remember seeing, like, the preview, and you could see, you know, Gene talking on the phone. I remember being so excited that Gene was doing a movie. I never thought to myself, well, does this mean he's not in Kiss? Did you?
No, I didn't think about, and obviously we didn't know about that he wasn't involved because he still had songs on the records, right? So there's no internet and blah, blah, blah. And there's no books at the time that are saying, hey, Paul's pissed off or whatever. Because reality is, if Paul was really in control, couldn't he have just done Kiss featuring Paul Stanley or go solo by himself? Or obviously he was scared to do so. He wasn't ready to put it to bed, right? So, but no, I never thought that, oh my God, that means Gene's not in Kiss anymore, right? But I didn't think that when, I didn't think Janet Jackson stopped doing music or never start music because she was an actress already or because Timberlake was on the Disney show and then he ended up in movies that he was going to stop doing music. Like, I just figured everybody's like Will Smith. They dabble in it all, right? And they do whatever it is every once in a while.
Right. So I guess the main question though is, let's talk musically. Gene, you know, has been described as phoning it in for those records, right? You know, when you listen to early Gene stuff and then Gene stuff when he was trying to become an actor, do you feel there's a large difference? I know you're not a huge Gene lyric kind of guy, right?
Yeah, I think there is a large difference. The stuff in the 80s is better.
You think it's better?
I think it's better. I think it fits the times. Now, the 70s stuff might have fit the times too, but I don't love a lot of the 70s music. I love more the 80s music, right?
Right,
so
right.
So for the time frame that he was writing for, that's fine. But I'm also a believer of, because I can sometimes be this way, is because we're both going to go take a test, but you're studying morning, noon, and night for 3 weeks, and I just show up and take it. That means I care less? Maybe that just means I didn't need to study morning, noon, and night. Shouldn't that be celebrated? That I don't got to work as hard, but I can be just as good?
No, you're right. I get that. Okay, here's a good question. Steve H67 says, what would have happened if Gene Simmons' acting career had taken off and he had become a star, getting lots of roles offered? Would he have stayed in Kiss in the 80s and beyond? That's a great question. And I'm going to go with he would have stayed in Kiss.
Yeah, and you would have just got either less Gene songs or the records would have been spread out a little more.
Right. Right?
And Kiss just doesn't make the comeback that they made, right? It just doesn't end up happening.
Gene
but the comeback
Simmons,
was short-lived, right? So
right. Gene Simmons loves the live experience at the time anyway, especially in the 80s, being that guy who gets on stage and has 10,000 people worshiping him, you know, for an hour and a half, 2 hours, that I don't think he would give that up for unless he was, you know, in his 70s and his back hurt.
Yeah. But you're going to tell me Good Girl Gone Bad sucks?
No, I like that song. I like a lot of Gene stuff. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I was asking you, did you think that do you think the record suffered at all?
Maybe. I mean, we're getting Paul's point of view there. If you, okay, would you rather have what you have or a disgruntled Gene that Paul won't let him go be in movies and he's got to sit there with his arms crossed and sit in the recording studio? I'd rather have him the hell out of there. Even Nevison has said in interviews that anytime Gene came in for a recording session, he would do his parts, and then he was in the corner reading Variety magazine. So it wasn't like he was 100% in when he was at the studio either, right? So Whatever. I'd rather have, if you're not going to be fully in and you're just going to be involved a little bit, then don't be around 24/7, because then you're just going to bug the hell out of me. They do your part and get out.
Yeah. John Patterson says, in the movie Trick or Treat, Kiss fans felt there was not enough Gene Simmons, much like not enough Mike Myers in 54 and 85. Gene could have handled a cameo like a pro. No, you're right. In that movie Trick or Treat, he's barely in it. But he's in the preview with Ozzy.
Yeah. Where I think he missed out on cameos in movies can be difficult, right? Because the movies, they don't come out right away. A lot of them are on, you know, in different periods of working on them between 18 months to 3 years at times. If he was going to do cameos, dude, I would have hit every sitcom and every drama primetime show. Like, do it that way. Right. So think about if he would have been on Chips and Hawaii 5-0 and A-Team and, you know, all of those Too Close for Comfort. Right. He ends up in Family Ties, like an episode here and there. Now he's all over TV. All the time.
Like Too Close for Comfort. That's the one with the dad and the two daughters, right? Living in the house with the wife.
No. That was Ted Knight. With the, remember he used to do the puppet thing? He used to be a cartoonist?
Yeah, but his daughters, he had a blonde daughter and a brunette.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Gene's cameo could have been, they walk in and he's like banging the blonde. You know, it's Gene Simmons, everybody. I'm so happy you're in my house. Please get off my daughter. That would have been interesting. What would he have done in A-Team? He could have been a bad guy in the A-Team, right?
Of course he could have been, yeah.
Everything he was in, he could have been a bad guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think that it's very interesting that they had a guy who's born in Israel playing a Muslim terrorist guy? Isn't that kind of weird? It's like
weird in the context today.
Today it is. Yeah.
And all that, yeah. Right?
I guess
in
the
contest of 87.
It didn't matter.
It just kind of fits him, right?
But, yeah.
Yeah. Now it's different.
So let's talk about the things. I can't remember everything that he's been in, but I will tell you that some of the things that I do remember he's been in. Okay, so let's talk about it. Okay, so I, of course, Runaway is awesome. I love that movie. I thought that he played a great bad guy in that movie, and I thought he played a really awesome bad guy in Wanted Dead or Alive. When he comes out of the movie, spoiler, if you haven't seen this movie, I'm about to give some shit away. So, you know, anyway, when he comes out of that movie theater after they put a bomb in there and there's a little girl walking in with a teddy bear and he like pats her on the head or does this to her or something, he's about to murder her. He doesn't have to say a word and he's vicious.
And that's who we were supposed to be, right? Like, I thought he did a great job in Runaway. I really loved the character on Wanted Dead or Alive. It just fit him absolutely so well. And I get it. He jokes about having the grenade in his mouth at the end. I think that fit him too, right? Because
fit it perfectly.
Grenade in his mouth, he's kind of jittering around and the eyes roll back. I mean, dude, that's Gene the whole way.
Gene Simmons, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have his IMDb stuck up by any chance?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so let me see if I can remember some of the stuff. So I do know that he was in The New Guy. Did you ever see The New Guy?
He
played a preacher, in a mall or something like that. That was a cameo. And that was, you know, where he just popped in for a scene and popped out. Of course, you know, was he in a movie called Red Surf or something like that?
Yeah, he was with George Clooney. I have that movie. It's a good movie.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a good movie?
Yeah, yeah. I have it on, I think I might have it on DVD. I think somebody burned it on DVD.
How much is he in it? You know?
Not a ton. Probably more than he was in Trick or Treat, probably.
So another Never Too Young to Die, right? That's what that's called?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, first of all, if you're a man out there, or maybe if you're a woman, the movie's worth watching just for vanity. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
She's one of my top 10 most beautiful women. Rest her soul. It's not a good movie.
No, it's not.
It's not a good movie. So somebody said he's funny in Extract. I don't even know what that is.
Dude, Justin Bateman. It's Mila Kunis is in that movie.
Uh-huh.
Dude, that's a good movie. He's like a lawyer in the movie. I think he's Joe Adler or something like that in the movie. And he comes in. He's on a TV commercial at the start of the movie, like closer to the start. And then he comes in as a character right in the middle-ish of the movie. But he only has total screen time. Dude, if it's 3 minutes, I'd be surprised.
Huh. I think it would be fun to, get an IMDb list and then, you know, look for the movies that I never saw. I really didn't enjoy Trick or Treat. He's in that movie. It's not really a Gene Simmons movie. I didn't really enjoy that. You know, Skippy's in it from whatever that show was. And but with Michael Keaton or Michael P. Keaton or I don't even remember. Well, anyway. So here's the thing, just to make sure that we cover the bases on this, do you think it did or did not hurt Kiss by him doing that? Do you think that it might have hurt Paul? Okay, wait, let's start with Kiss. Do you think it hurt Kiss?
I don't think it hurt Kiss. Okay. I don't think anything you do in media that is putting your name out there and people have attached to a member of Kiss hurts the brand. Okay. Right? Unless you're doing midget porn or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's in motion pictures that are in theaters. That can't possibly be hurting the big brand. That can only enhance it.
Midget porn and zebras. Where are we going with this? I cannot handle this day. But do you think it hurt Paul?
Emotionally, yes. And I think, honestly, Paul ended up hurting Gene's movie career. If Paul was supportive, I think Gene takes more roles. I think Gene walked away from her roles to keep the peace with Paul. I think we're assuming, as the Kiss Army, that Gene didn't get any big roles. Why don't we assume that he walked away from big roles to keep the peace with Paul?
Oh, that is a good
possibility. That could easily be true, right?
It could be true. Man, that's a good point right there. But let me ask you this.
You remember that movie Blown Away? Tommy Lee was a bomber.
Yeah.
You can tell me Gene Simmons couldn't have done that part?
No, that's true. There's a lot of things. And here's the other thing. He's not a bad actor.
No, he's not.
He's not a bad actor. He's a good actor. He's no Tommy Lee Jones or, you know, anything like that, but he's a good actor, as believable as anybody else that I've seen in movies. You watch it, especially as a bad guy, he knows what a bad guy is supposed to be. Do you think though but as a child, Gene Simmons loved movies and he loved the movie theater. And do you think that it was just a natural progression for him to go from Do you think that there's a chance that if he wouldn't have become a rock star, that he may still have tried to become an actor?
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. I mean the whole kabuki mindset is right. A theater mindset, right? Hmm. I think about this. He could have been a Bond villain. It's possible Paul screwed him out of being a Bond villain.
Okay, let's step back for now. Could I see him playing a Bond villain? Easily. Yeah. But could Paul Stanley talk him out of being a Bond villain? Like the Gene Simmons ego and going, this is my chance to be a Bond villain. Like, so you go down.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so let's play this out. Let's say it's 1986, right? Okay. They're about to start working on Crazy Nights. Paul has had enough. It's been 6 years of bullshit with dating Cher, and I'm going to be in movies, and now he's been in two or three. He wasn't around when I needed him at Animalize. He wasn't around when I needed him at Asylum. Now we're going to go into Crazy Nights. I don't want to do the production anymore, give him an executive production credit. So we're going to go get Nevison. Nevison just saved Hart. He's going to end up saving us too. Gene, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you are not in the studio helping with this record, Kiss Is No More, and that will be a Paul Stanley solo album. If you're ready for that, bless you, go be a Bond villain. Otherwise, you better get back in this band. Gene, at that point, cannot take Bond villain. He can't take Bond villain.
And it wouldn't make him as much money either as it would.
That's right.
Going on tour.
And if they, as we have now found out, that they were thinking about someday coming back into makeup and possibly having some sort of reunion tour, and what would that mean later on for money and blah, all that's done if it pisses Paul off right now.
Right. John Patterson, that's the point we're making right there. That's a good point. Gene also knew Kiss was his bread and butter day job. Gene should have used his rock star power to get the Elder movie made. We can't ever judge that movie because we have no idea how it would have come out. Especially, we know there was a script because it was for sale in the Gene Simmons and the Kiss auction years ago. I'd love a shot. I know that there's a lot of people online that know the person that owns it, and he refuses to let anybody read it, which is some harsh shit to do. But if you're out there and you have a copy and you want to send it to us, that would be awesome. But he could have probably used his power to get that movie made. But the problem was, I think that when the record didn't sell well, it probably made the management go, we're not doing this.
Well, Crazy Nights was platinum, so they were fine there.
Right.
But they were, that's their comeback right there. Right. Anything Nevison was touching was gold platinum anyway. It could have been literally anybody. It could have been Menudo. Probably wouldn't have mattered. But I think there was a come Jesus, you in or you out? Because I'm going to go do something else then if you're not in this band.
Right.
And we also know that Eric was less and less happy. So Paul's getting it from Gene, doesn't show up. Eric's fucking pissed off at me all the time. Bruce is wondering what the next album's going to be, and I'm sitting here going, where the hell's my partner?
My partner for all these years.
Yeah, and then I go to the movies, and I see him in drag. That's what you signed up to do? Seriously? You could have been in the studio, and you're doing that bullshit?
Right. Yeah, he goes into some detail in his book, Paul does, you know? Yeah. But I would have loved to have been able to sit there and pick his brain a little more to go, what did you think about, you know, the drag and the, you know, did you even like the movies?
I would tell you, if I had to guess, Paul would never say this out loud. If I had to guess, when Paul saw him in Runaway, he's like, oh shit, homie's got chops. This is going to be a problem. When he saw him in Wanted, Dead or Alive, oh my God, I have to do something. Otherwise, Kiss is done. Because I think he saw somebody that was going to take the next step. The other thing, does Gene get credit for seeing the writing on the wall in 81, 82 and going, you know what? I think I better get to Hollywood because I don't think Kiss is going to be around.
Right.
He doesn't get any credit for that either.
Interesting. He definitely did see, you know, have that idea. But did Paul have it first? According to his book, you know, he was the one that was taking acting classes and then doing that stuff. I did see something one time, and I don't know if we could find it. I could try to find it while we're doing this. Did you know that Gene, there's an audition tape out there where Gene is auditioning for, yeah, what's the, who's the character? Samuel Jackson plays him.
Yeah, I can't remember the character, but it was early 80s. I think it was early 80s, the thing that we saw, or the thing that I saw anyway. Here's the other thing, and we can ask the folks that are listening to us and watching us too. We can imagine Gene playing a bunch of characters.
Right.
I can't imagine Paul playing any. I can't place Paul in a movie. I love Paul. This has nothing to do with Sonny Hates Paul. I don't need the Sonny Hates Paul thing. I can't imagine Paul playing a part in a movie and selling it. Think about it. Because he's going to have to be the hero, right? Well, he's not going to be able to be the villain.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think I could see him playing anybody but a rock star or himself.
There you go. So he has to be either in Purple Rain or Hard to Hold. Basically, that's the only way he's going to be able to sell it.
Damn, you just brought up Hard to Hold.
I love that movie.
That's Rick Springfield?
Yes, I love that movie.
I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, love it.
But he could have been in that movie, though.
Yeah, but that's the only thing Rick could have done except for the soap opera he was doing on TV, right? So it's like, Paul, I just don't see it going. He wouldn't have been able to do a comedy because he's got to be too serious. Can't sell the drama. Can't be the hero. Now, so he'd have to be what? Some, like, it'd have to be a Studio 54 thing, and he's one of the sexed up, you know, shirt half open, hair all over the place, and girls kind of hanging on him, but that's not a leading role.
Right. It's all real interesting because it really seems like the person that was made out of all of them that was made to do movies or was Gene.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, Ace was in something. Oh, so Paul did eventually do Phantom of the Opera. Yes, I watched that. I didn't think that was bad. So that is something. So maybe Paul would have been more built for something like Broadway.
Broadway. Now Broadway, where you can use your voice and you can kind of over, you know, because they're over actors, right? This is not motion pictures dramatized. They're trying to get the person in the back of the room to understand what's going on stage. Okay. Well, that he owns the stage. So it doesn't surprise me at all that he did well in Phantom of the Opera. But could you imagine Paul being in a sitcom? Paul can't do a sitcom.
No, that's true. At least I wouldn't think so. Dang. You know, all this is making a lot of sense, you know. I wonder if you guys out there think that Paul, tell us a role that you could see Paul Stanley doing. Podcast RockCity1, that's the number one, @gmail.com. I would love to know what, and no joking. Don't be like, oh, he could have been Iron Man. No, he couldn't have.
John Patterson has an interesting one down there. Yeah, those are all, what, fourth, fifth actors, really?
Yeah. It says Paul Stanley would have been a good straight man in any Billy Crystal or Woody Allen movie. Maybe the owner of the Catskills Resort in Dirty Dancing. Okay, so what are we figuring out? People out there are saying Paul could have done movies, but it would have been all supporting roles.
Right.
Supporting roles. So would you say, because I don't really understand how this is put, would you say Gene starred in those movies that he was in? Yeah. At least well, the first
some
few.
Of them, some of them, yeah. So to me, the lead villain is also a star in the film.
Right.
Right? So like, let's take Die Hard, right? So yes, Bruce Willis's character is a lead in the film. But you didn't tell me Hans Gruber is not a lead in the film?
No, that's a good point.
Right? But the guy putting in the second missile in the thing that hit the tank thing, that guy's like eighth on the list.
28th on the list. He's way behind guy. Bonnie Bedelia. He's right, like,
so to me, usually the leads are the hero, the villain, and then whoever the love interest is, right? Now, whether that's two female leads in the male love interest or the two male leads in the female love interest, those three are the leads, right? Those are the three you usually see in the movie poster, right? But come on, I just don't see Paul.
Okay, so listen, I know I've said this 100 times, and all you guys that are watching, I really appreciate your comments. They're always amazing. And I have always said you guys are the fifth member of this show. Okay. Your comments today have been wonderful. I want to, Sven, there's one right there that's, from Brent. Can you put that up, please? It says, with Paul's low self-esteem, he didn't want to get left behind. That's a hell of a point, don't you think?
I agree with that, Brent. I would also say, you know, and we all know Paul, whether it's insecurities, whether it's sensitivity, whatever it is, it's too bad that he has that at times because I could honestly say, and I think most people listening would agree, that from 79 to 92, Paul's rock voice is goddamn untouchable. Right. So if he really had full confidence in himself, he goes and does a solo album or two. Dude, you're talking about Steve Perry-esque type stuff if somebody's going to give him a shot. Now, if they're just going to see him as the ex-singer of Kiss, I guess that's going to be a problem. But he could have been Billy Idol. He could have been Billy Squire. He could have been Steve Perry-esque if he would have had the confidence to go do that. If I was Paul and I had that confidence, and just think about it, that rewrites the whole story. The reunion still happens because people are doing their own thing and now they come back and do a big thing, right? And we would have two Paul solo albums that sound a lot like probably Crazy Nights and Hot in the Shade, probably, right? But so what?
Right.
But I don't think Paul had the guts to go do that. That sounds really bad. I get it. But you got to have, you know, you got to take a risk. You got to be confident enough to be able to take a risk.
It says if Paul wasn't the lead, I guess, actor, he wouldn't have been the eagle. But here's the thing. But I don't know if that's true because my understanding is that in that, I think it's Young Doctors in Love or something. I think that he did a role in that got cut. He's not the lead. He's like somebody that gets, I think, a rock star that gets brought to the hospital. So I don't know if that's necessarily true and I don't really, in the book, I'll have to go back and read it. I can't remember why he did the role, if it was for a buddy that was making the movie or a friend that was in the movie or something like that, or, you know, it's really, this subject's been very interesting because it's not something that I don't think we've ever touched on this in our almost 11 years doing this show was what are the things that hurt, you know, we've done mistakes that Kiss made, you know, but we never did, you know, this, you know, did this, how bad did this hurt, you know, Kiss,
yeah,
you know,
but let's talk about that a little bit more. So hurt Kiss. So if we agree that Gene being in movies hurt Kiss, then we would have to agree that he would have somehow made the sales better by making promotions better for Kiss and that his songs would be better on those albums. There is no way we can say either one of those things to be true.
Right.
So in my mind, it didn't hurt Kiss. It probably helped.
Yeah. he was a lot. I remember seeing him in a few, because I didn't watch a lot of TV. Yeah, I was more of a go outside kid, like a lot of kids were, you know, our age. But I do remember being at home and seeing an interview with him on HBO, and I do remember seeing an interview with him, I think, on Entertainment Tonight or something, about not Runaway. I think it was Wanted Dead or Alive. It might have been Runaway. But think about this too. He also did, so he did a movie, okay, time out. He does a movie with Rutger Hauer and Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck, arguably the biggest name at the point, sex symbol wise, especially, you know, 100% with Magnum PI. So he's the bad guy in that movie. You got up and coming Kirstie Alley, who isn't anybody at the time, but she's definitely starting to make a name for herself. She winds up becoming, you know, how many years after? I don't know what year she joined Cheers, but it wasn't a lot of years after that, I don't think.
Nah, it was only 2 or 3 years afterwards.
Yeah. You know, he kills her viciously too, man. It's so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Knife in the back of the neck. Spoiler, in case you haven't seen it.
That's an interesting comment right there, Steve, age 67, said about Eric Carr working with Ace. So the comment says they didn't like Eric Carr working with Ace, yet had no problem with Gene going off and doing movies. So first of all, I think Gene was probably going to try movies no matter what, right? Because he's one of the leaders. I personally think that Paul had a problem with Eric going and working for Ace because Paul and Eric were not getting along well together. And the last thing Paul needs is to lose Eric to Ace because he knew Ace was coming back, and he told you so. See what I did there?
Nice one. Ace was coming back, and he told you so. Thanks, Gene.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. So he knew Ace was coming back, and the last thing he wants to do is lose his drummer to his prior guitar player. And that could have easily happened, especially if Eric's not feeling good in Kiss.
I mean, in all seriousness, if we sit back and think about everything that was going on this time, there, to be fair to Paul Stanley, there was probably a whole lot of pressure there. There's a whole lot of drama and a whole lot of pressure.
100%, because Gene's got this other income stream possibly, and Paul's looking at it going, dude, what about this income stream that you benefit from that I got to do just to live on?
Right.
Right. So, of course, I'd be pissed if I was Paul, too. 100%.
So, you know, he said in his book something to the effect of, you know, if I'm doing most of the work, that's why he put himself out front. You remember? And the album cover and did the producing, I guess. And, you know, that was if I'm Paul Stanley and I'm still getting material from Gene. Okay, I don't know Paul Stanley. None of us do. We all assume that they all have egos. We're probably right. We're probably right. It may be a little less or a little more than we assume. But here's my thing: wouldn't Paul? Do you think it was mixed? Do you think that there's a chance that on one hand he's going, "Damn, you know, Gene's not around," but on the other hand, he's going, "Awesome, Gene's not around. I can mix this how I want, make it sound how I want, write the songs, put these songs on." You know what I mean? What do you think?
Oh yeah, there's got to be at some point you have to make peace with it, and that's how you end up making peace with it, right? But in the end, okay, Joe, I know you're a homer,
but
you're going to have to answer this question today, right? 7:54 p.m. Eastern on March 24th, 2024. Who is more popular, Gene Simmons or Paul Stanley?
Right. Gene Simmons is.
He was that way in the 90s, in the 80s, in the 70s. I'm sorry. I love Paul. I love more Paul songs than I love Gene songs. But when it comes down to it, Gene's character connected with more people. People like the villain. He was the demon. That helps. The fire breathing, the blood spitting does not hurt the situation. And he was the one out there. He was a tall guy, and he was willing to go do interviews and go speak his mind, etc. And I get it that when we saw it on MTV, it always seems like Paul was talking before Gene was talking. But who had a better shot to get on Oprah? Gene. Who had a better shot to get on any talk show? Gene. Because he's the most interesting. So when it
it probably had both of them on, but Gene was the name they really wanted, probably.
That's the guy that wanted.
I wanted to show you something that was, I know you've seen this before. Let's see. They did the Who Wore It Better. Have you ever seen this?
Oh, yeah. With Linda Carter, right? Yeah.
Right. So there's Gene and then Linda Carter. Oh, my goodness. Look at that beautiful woman.
Stop showing Gene.
The goddess right there. It's crazy, though, right? It is the same outfit.
Yeah.
What? How did this happen? So you remember that it was she wore it performing with a Kiss dance band, right?
Yeah.
I think I have it right here. Let's see. Linda Carter. Yeah. So there. Okay. So this is the thing I always told people about, where my mom called me and said, "Hey, come in. Kiss is going to be on TV." And then I watched it and I was like, "I don't think that's Kiss." And it wasn't. But so she danced with Kiss in that. And then Gene wore the outfit in another movie. And it's the same freaking outfit. Do you think he bought it and thought, "I want to wear that one day"?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know.
That is super, super. Yeah, pretty weird. Okay, listen, we've talked about this. It's been a lot of fun. We have decided in the end, it did not hurt Kiss for Gene to become an actor, at least in our opinion. Paul may have something else to say about that. He might go, "Damn, you don't even know." You know, but in our opinion, as fans, it made us more excited.
Yeah, like I said, unless you believe that Gene's songs would have been better and that the records would have been promoted better to sell better, Gene couldn't have heard it. Period.
Right. Well, there you go. You guys that are watching right now, we have a Patreon, and it's patreon.com/podcastrockcity. Sonny and I are about to go record a new episode for our Patreon people. If you're a member of the Patreon, you can do that for free for 1 week. It doesn't cost you anything. Just join it. Go and look at all the stuff that we've put on there and check it out, even for just 1 week. And then if you like it, join. And you'll get an extra show every week when we do them. I will tell you guys, next week is Easter, so we're going to be out. However, I think I'm going to record a couple of 20-minute Kiss Fix episodes, and I'll put them on here for you guys to watch on next Sunday, while the rest of us are celebrating our holiday and I'll be out of town. So I'm having a good time. Sonny, do you have anything to add?
Thanks for listening, and thanks for watching with us today. There's a lot of people online with us today.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know what I'm gonna say? We love Kiss, and we love Kiss podcasts, and you're gonna hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUP ROCK.com.
Growing up rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.